I thought the commercials for it were relatively clever with like all the Power Rangers and the Get Smart fella. This was for the
Oh,
watch.
the first one,
Yeah,
yeah.
I liked it, but I was like, this is exactly why I'll never use that product because I don't want to look like that.
I mean, the new ones are nice because they look better. It's just cool that like you get a text and you can check it there without having to get in your pocket.
Well, see, that's only a problem for people like you that have a phone that's the size of a small country
Not a problem for me. It's
that's
just if
hard
I'm
to get
talking
in
to
and
a
out of your
customer and
pocket.
somebody's responded to me on Twitter, I can respond. I can laugh right there instead of having to wait till
You
they'll
can laugh
just.
in the face of the customer. Yeah, it makes rudeness more accessible.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. The man who has everything to hide. I am Dave, joined by my co-host, Ryan.
I've got nothing to hide over here. It's
Yeah.
all out on the table.
And I had nothing to say about this. This is a very special episode of Movies On Up. That's not really. It's just a Kevin Costner episode.
Which is very special because we've never had one before.
No, the tagline is "The man who has everything to hide." I think I just
Is
closed it
that thing that
out.
you just said?
Yeah, I was going off of memory. If you know what movie that's from and want to win a prize package, email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. Oh, we're off the rails already, like his career in the early 2000s. Email us, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup. Follow us on the Twitter, @moviesonup. Draft days this week, opens this
The
weekend.
Browns are on the clock as
The
we speak.
Browns are on the clock. So Ryan, as a Browns fan, as a Jennifer Garner fan,
I feel like maybe it's
you should
as a
be.
Jennifer Garner fan and as a Browns
You
fan.
should be very excited about this movie.
I'm cautiously optimistic about the movie. I know it's not going to be very good.
Well, as a Browns fan, that shouldn't matter to you.
You're right. I blindly like a team that I know is going to suck. So it's really, it's right in my wheelhouse to know going in that this is going to be 2.5 hours of pure misery, but at
At least the
least,
sequel will be better.
no, I doubt it, but at least I do get to look at Jennifer Garner for a certain amount of time on screen, and that's worth something.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Draft Day had promise. I like the idea of it. It's the first licensed film from the
Fully
NFL,
sanctioned NFL, yeah.
but just something about the trailers, it just doesn't. It's Ivan Reitman, who I like. I like Costner. I like this mini resurgence of Costner's career, although it's not, Man of Steel was okay for him. Jack Ryan didn't do so hot. 3 Days to Kill didn't do so hot. This one, I don't see doing so hot, so.
I feel like this will make money just because it is an NFL property. Whether you're a Browns fan or not, I mean, I think there are a lot of people, especially now with the draft actually being moved back to May, whereas normally this would be about draft week. We'd actually be talking about who the Browns are really going to botch with their selection instead of just what they're going to do on the big screen. But I think this being in that hole, it is an NFL property. You're going to see actual NFL players on the screen. So I do think it's going to make money in spite of itself, like the first week, and then I think once it gets around how bad it is, I don't see it doing well going forward, much like the Browns.
It screams bust to me.
Yes.
But you're not a big Costner fan.
No.
So this list was fairly hard for you. You had resistance to do this episode.
Yeah, I probably did. I'm not a Kevin Costner fan, and I feel like that's going to come across. I don't hate the guy. But I guess to me, Kevin Costner is like classic rock. You know what I mean? I don't like it, but I don't know anybody that says, man, I hate classic rock. I don't know anybody that says, I hate Kevin Costner. You're just kind of like, yeah, okay, he's there, fine. Or you really like him, which you seem to have had no problem putting together not just your five favorite Kevin Costner movies, but like his entire
I could have
filmography
done a
you're
top
into.
10. I really could have done a top
Why
10.
didn't you tell me this like yesterday and I'd have just let you?
I said a couple weeks ago, do you want me to just do a top 10 and then we'll comment on that?
Did you do
But
that?
like 2 weeks ago. But then you were like, nah, we'll just each do five. So, Ryan, since we each did five, your number five favorite Kevin Costner movie.
My number five favorite Kevin Costner movie comes from 1994. I feel like this is, of all the movies that I have on my list, it is probably the least well known. And it's the one that I like the least. But it's one that I like, which there are only five Costner movies that I actually like. It is The War, directed by John Avnet, starring Kevin Costner, Elijah Wood, a very young Elijah Wood, and Murray Winningham. Kind of a bummer, spoiler alert. Not an incredibly uplifting film to start off the list, but it's a pretty competent performance by Costner. And Elijah Wood, really good in it too. Elijah Wood plays Costner's son. He's a Vietnam vet that's coming back, trying to get back into civilian life after the war. And as messed up as Costner's character is from having fought in the Nam, Wood is really kind of messed up too. He's an angry little bastard, just getting in fights with folks. And his dad is kind of trying to impart on him. And rarely do you see the character of a Vietnam vet like as the voice of reason, especially one that's really kind of working through his own demons. But Costner definitely was in this movie. There's Elijah Wood and his sister in the movie try and build this treehouse, which I guess is kind of like a metaphor for what Costner is trying to rebuild in his own life. Spoiler alert, they both turn out about the same way. The movie takes kind of a turn for the worse in the third act and really is kind of rough to watch after that. But really good early performance from Elijah Wood. That guy has got some skills, and you can see it coming through here. It's a little bit heavy, but I mean, I think the kid was like 10, so you can give him a pass for maybe a little bit of overacting.
And oddly enough, Elijah Wood looks exactly the same today.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, that one is one of the few that did not make my list or my also-rans. My number five, though, is going back to 1987 with No Way Out, starring Costner, Gene Hackman, Sean Young, directed by Roger Donaldson. Remake of, I believe it was a 1948 film, The Big Clock, based on the novel of the same name. If you're into, like, spy thriller, sex scandal, political thriller, espionage stories, this is one of the better ones that combines all of it.
You had me at sex.
Yeah, it's Costner hooking up with a politician's wife. Politician's wife realizes that she's sleeping around, accidentally kills her, tries to say, hey, some spy killed her, hires Costner to find the man that killed his wife that he killed because she was sleeping with somebody. And it goes, that's just...
Who was him?
Yeah, but there's a lot more to it than that. that's like the Cliff's Notes version. That's just how you get the ball rolling. And then from there, it's an intense movie. And this one came out back to back with
another movie from 1987 that we might talk about.
Yeah, that is one of my also rans that I've mentioned on a list before, but I really liked. So this is Costner's had different eras of his career, and this was like guy who's so sexy he gets in trouble with his sex appeal and then has to get out of it. And I really liked it, though. Now, it's a good one. And even, what is this, 30 years old almost? It holds up. Like, it's a good political thriller. And this is the kind, I mean, Costner is so good in this kind of role also.
I think you're right. He does have different phases of his career. He definitely has different genres that he makes. And one of the genres that he dabbles in quite often, quite recently, is the sports movies. I only have one Costner sports movie on my list, and it is my number four. It is from 1996, directed by Ron Shelton, starring Kevin Costner, Rene Russo, and Don Johnson. It is Tin Cup. As a general rule, I don't like Costner sports movies. And that may just be because I don't like baseball, and he seems to like it a lot and make a lot of baseball movies. But I actually think I like baseball more than I like golf. So it would be kind of weird that I would like Tin Cup over Field of Dreams or, you know, Bull Durham, whatever. But the thing that I like about this movie is his character does seem pretty real, and you can kind of identify him. Roy McAvoy has got this plan of he's going to steal Rene Russo from Don Johnson by qualifying for the U.S. Open, which on the surface, kind of a dumb plan. And it gets worse. At some point, she's a psychotherapist, so he becomes her patient to try and build some trust with her and further sneak in there. It's really kind of a scummy thing to do. But you can see this dude just trying everything he can. And Johnson as the slick, I don't care professional golfer, I thought was really good. And his ability to kind of needle McAvoy, who's kind of your everyman, like John Daly, you know what I mean? Like, you could absolutely see John Daly imploding the same way that, spoiler alert, McAvoy implodes. The guy just can't admit when he's beaten and can't say no to a dare, which are two really terrible traits to have if you're a professional athlete or if you're trying to do anything competitive. That whole scene of him on whatever hole that was where he just keeps hitting it in the water, it's, you know that's coming. It's a train wreck that they've been building to the entire movie. You know it's going to happen, but when it does happen, you still can't look away, and you're just like, listen, man, just pick it up. Just pick it up.
Yeah, my number four is also Tin Cup, and instead of swapping it out, I'm going to keep here because I do love this movie a lot. It's everything in a movie I shouldn't love. Like, I'm not big on romantic movies. I don't really care about
golf,
but you nailed it on the head. His character is so good, and he's so good at playing athletes because he's always had that look to where he looks like a guy who is a washed-up athlete. So, I mean, this, I think when people think of, you know, rom-com sports comedies, Bull Durham's one of the first ones that come to mind. Which,
especially Costner rom-com,
yeah,
sports
and
movies.
And rightfully so. It's a good movie, but I actually prefer Tin Cup over Bull Durham. I think the characters are better. I think the story is overall better. And just the ending, that whole scene of trying to get over the water, to me is worth it because it says so much about everything. It says so much about the character, life in general. Like, you can look at it as a metaphor for anything you want it to be, and it makes perfect sense. And I absolutely adore that. And I like this movie so much that I almost feel like it kind of went under the radar almost. Like, it's not really talked about. And I feel like it's almost one of those you've got mail type things where, oh, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, it's the same movie. I feel like this was, I mean, it was a while after Bull Durham, not too far, but I think people were just thinking he was trying to cash in on the sports rom-com thing. But I actually think it's overall, it's a better movie. Maybe not the better comedy, maybe not the better love story, but I think overall it's just a better movie.
There's absolutely no reason. When I saw this on DVD, I mean, it had to be probably like, I think I was in high school, and I didn't play golf then. I don't know why the hell I watched this movie, but I liked it. There's no reason as like a 17-year-old I should have enjoyed Tin Cup. None whatsoever. But I did. Bull Durham, I should have liked. Field of Dreams, I should have liked. And those ones, I guess, I just didn't care. There was nothing in it to grab me. And at least in Tin Cup, and I think we can both agree, McAvoy as a character will grab you.
He's got this likable charm about him that even when he's a jerk, he's still likable.
Even when he's trying to sleep with his therapist by making up something that's wrong with him, you still want to root for the guy.
You're still on board with him, yeah.
You're still a Roy guy. So I guess that leaves me with my number three. My number three is a short little film that clocks in about 3 hours long, directed by Oliver Stone, starring Kevin Costner, Gary Oldman, Jack Lemmon. It's JFK from 1991. Full disclosure, I have never sat through this entire movie in one sitting. I look at it as like one of those weird shows that you might come across on the History Channel, like how the aliens may or may not have built the pyramids. We weren't there, so we don't really know. As far as we can tell, they were built by aliens. This absolutely is a conspiracy film right along those lines. There may be a bit more believability to JFK than aliens building the pyramids.
Not much.
Maybe. And I don't agree with everything in this movie. I don't even know how much of it I buy at all. But Stone made a hell of a movie here. This is, I mean, if you can make like a legal investigative thriller be an epic, he did in JFK. And I will give him credit, Oliver Stone, that is, for doing some serious homework. I don't want to say this movie feels like a documentary because it definitely has an agenda and it has a point of view, which documentaries shouldn't have by rule. But you could see where somewhere in the back of Oliver Stone's mind, he may have thought he was making a documentary, or at least he did enough research to try and put forth this is why the things that I think make sense. And I'll give him all the credit in the world for doing that. I mean, the guy had a point of view. He had something he wanted to say with this. Yes, he had something he wanted to say with the movie, and he did. And who knows? Maybe we'll see if he's right in another 15 or so years when all those documents that he references in the movie become released.
Yeah, I saw this in theaters. I would have been about 13 at the time. I'd have been about 13 at the time.
Is this like a school project?
No, I just saw JFK. I didn't hate it at the time. I've never watched it since. But I still remember, you're talking almost 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, 22. There's still stuff I remember about it for only seeing it once. So I enjoyed it. It didn't make my list or my also-rans, but as much as it's a Costner movie, you hit it on the head where it's 1,000 times more an Oliver Stone movie. So
yeah, it is. I mean, it's a huge cast. I mean, Costner is sort of the de facto leading man in it. And he's fine. Costner's more your way into the movie. He kind of takes you along, and we watch everybody else really act and be characters. And he's just kind of like, I guess he's the role of the audience sort of in the movie.
Yeah, which is odd for him because he's really good at the story arc. Like, he is very good at starting in one spot, and by the end of the movie, he's at a completely different spot. And he takes you on that ride a lot more than – or a lot better than a lot of people, like in 2005's The Upside of Anger, which is my number three. I'm a sucker for Mike Binder. I thought Mike Binder made some really good movies when he was writing and directing movies. And this is probably top two. I mean, between this and Rain Over Me are both really, really good movies overall because he shied away more from the comedy and turned it into actual dramas and tried to fit in, but still fit in some of his quirky comedy. It's more a Joan Allen movie than it is a Kevin Costner movie. Joan Allen's angry that her husband left with his secretary, left her and the kids. Kevin Costner is the retired baseball player, grumpy baseball player that lives next door. You see, you know, her reluctant to do anything. Him is the grumpy guy, but stepping in when he sees that people need help. And it's a nice little relationship growing between those two and the relationship with the family, and the ending you really don't see coming. The ending is kind of a kick in the gut, well, near the end, but it's just a really cool story. And this is, again, he's a perfect ex-athlete because you look at him, it's like, I could see him being, you know, a baseball player.
He never looks odd. There are some actors, and I hate to beat a dead horse here, but in All the Right Moves, at no point do you ever think that Tom Cruise has even seen a football game. There's no way he could be a competent defensive back. But you know, there are some actors, and I give Sheen a lot of credit. As Ricky Vaughn, absolutely that dude's a pitcher. I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I give Costner a lot of credit for whether it was golf or baseball. I mean, yeah, he didn't look odd. It doesn't make you cringe to watch.
Yeah, no, and this, I really liked The Upside of Anger. It was a fantastic movie, and I just wish Mike Binder wouldn't have kind of fallen off as a filmmaker. He got the chance with Rain Over Me for like a major theatrical run with a big name cast right after this. And I don't know. I just liked him, and I liked Costner in this, even though it's a more of a Joan Allen movie, but just a really, really good movie.
My number two. I think of the ones I've had so far, I do like Tin Cup. I'm not really a big JFK fan or a big fan of the war, but that's going to change here with my top two. I do legitimately like them, and it shouldn't be real hard to figure out what my number one is. But my number two may come as a little bit of a surprise. And then again, it may not have. This is a movie that I may have referenced during our heist movies. It is 2001's 3,000 Miles to Graceland, directed by Damien Lichtenstein, starring Costner, Kurt Russell, and Courtney Cox. This is absolutely a really cool heist movie. Loads of action, and as much as I kind of make fun of McAvoy for having a bad plan to steal Rene Russo, this is kind of a strange plan to rob a bank. The bank is located in Las Vegas, and Costner and Kurt Russell and the rest of his band of Elvis impersonators decide to rob the bank dressed as Elvis while there is a giant Elvis convention in town. So essentially, you know, they're going to be able to blend in because everyone looks the same. I give credit, a lot of credit in this movie to Kurt Russell. I think he makes a tremendous Elvis, or Elvis impersonator, I guess. Not so much with Costner. I don't think he was very good at all. And spoiler alert, this is the only movie on my list where Costner is the heavy, where he's the bad guy. And I think there's a reason for it. I don't think he's particularly suited to be a bad guy.
No, and that's one of the rare ones. If you go through his filmography, this is one of the few where he is the heavy.
I think that maybe as inept as he is in that role, Russell makes up for it because he's so damn good in this movie. Courtney Cox and her little kid are kind of annoyances, but yet fun annoyances to be around. And when I start thinking about this movie, it makes me smile because I do enjoy me some Elvis and I do enjoy some gunplay. You get both of those things in here, and it kind of, it really made me wish that we were doing a top five Kurt Russell list, because I could do those in my sleep.
One, yeah.
It'd be so easy. You could absolutely know like all of them probably in order right now if you thought about it for 30 seconds, as much as I drool about Kurt Russell. But I really like this movie. I think it's a lot of fun. I do think it went way, way, way under the radar. I can't really say that I'm surprised. I guess it could come across as sort of a dumb premise or a disposable action movie. And I'm not trying to say that it's, you know, an Oscar winner or anything, but
it's a weird movie. It's unique, though. But it's one of those that you have to be willing to take the ride. If you're not buying into the premise, it's not going to sell it along the way. You kind of have to be on board going in, I think. And I think that kind of hurt it, because it is. I love the premise. I really do. I didn't like the movie as much as you did, but I love the idea of it. And
I mean, it's not your number two favorite Kevin Costner
movie.
No,
it's not. And I really liked Russell in this. Now, my number two is your number one. Ryan touched on it earlier, 1987, directed by Brian De Palma. It's The Untouchables. Kevin Costner, Sean Connery, De Niro.
Another really
gangster,
big cast.
Yeah, big cast, gangster. You know, the story about the cops that were no longer cops. They were kind of, could play by their own rules because crime had become so rough. And it's just so good. And it still holds up. Like, there have been attempts to make
Gangster Squad.
Gangster Squad was, like, the most recent one, and it's nowhere near.
And that's the thing. Like, you see The Untouchables in 1987, and if you're Gangster Squad, just make that damn movie. I mean, essentially, Gangster Squad is The Untouchables set in Los Angeles instead of Chicago. And a lot of the folks in Gangster Squad, it would have had a hell of a cast. That movie should have been much better. This is a blueprint that you could have followed, and for some reason, they didn't.
No, and I mean, it's Elliot Ness, it's
Al Capone,
but Costner, Connery, Andy Garcia, De Niro. I mean, that's Patricia Clarke. Like, there's a lot of awesome people in this movie, and this is at the height of all of them. Andy Garcia was headlining movies. De Niro was at his peak. You know, Connery, Costner. Like, this was a big that was a huge cast at the time. And De Palma. And they pulled it off. Like, it's a really good movie. And it's one of those that holds up. And it's kind of epic. I always compare it to Heat in a way. It's just like an epic crime movie. Heat's more on an epic scale, but it's a roller coaster ride. It's not just, hey, we're going to go find these bad guys, and that's it. Like, you get to know the characters, all of them, on the good and the bad side, and there is tragedy. There is some pretty brutal, dark stuff that happens in it on a human element, not just, I mean, on a personal level for these characters. And it's just a really, really good, very well-done movie.
As much as I do like Heat, this is absolutely a story, like a true crime story. You know, going in that, you know, they're not necessarily going to get Capone like they think they're going to starting out. But this is probably my favorite Costner performance, because I think as the straight arrow, as bad as he is at being heavy, as the straight arrow Elliot Ness, he was really good. Again, I think he kind of suffers from sort of a lack of charisma. And in movies that he's kind of carrying by himself, I think that really shows. Now, Kurt Russell could make up for it in 3,000 Miles to Graceland, and for God's sake, in this movie, Connery and De Niro, take your pick. There's enough charisma between those two guys that you can hide a lot of evils. I got to admit, De Palma has made some really good movies. This, Carrie. I like Scarface, maybe not as much as the next guy, but it was really good. And you see what he's doing now. This is how I prefer my De Palma. More guns, less passion. That movie was awful. I can't wrap my head around when you have a director that can make a movie like The Untouchables, can make a movie like Carrie, and then he does Passion. And you're like, what the hell? These two things don't make... Did you forget how to make a movie? No, you didn't. But, I don't know, make another Elliot Ness movie. Make the torso-killing movie. Bring it to Cleveland. It'd be great.
Yeah. So that was your number one?
That was my number one, yeah.
Yeah, I figured. I didn't want to spoil your thing. But my number one...
You said my number two is Ryan's number one.
Yeah, yeah, because I knew it would be. But I didn't want to bump my number one to number two because it's
sure.
Far and away my favorite Costner movie. Far and away my favorite Costner performance because you get the full Costner in this. And we talk about he's not really a heavy all that often, but in 1993's Perfect World, he should be. He's supposed to be. It just, he's an ex-convict that kidnaps a boy, and then Clint Eastwood has to hunt him down. I'm not the biggest Eastwood shill. Like, I realize he's an accomplished, acclaimed director, but I'm not super into all his movies that he directs. This one is damn near perfect. Like, this movie is so good. And even though Eastwood's there and he second billed, he directed, this is Costner's movie. The movie is 100% on his shoulders, and he's carrying along a child actor the whole time. And I mean, the kid was good enough, actually really good, but it was Costner, and he's this really bad guy. But you see him grow. You see him from all he wants to do is just get away, and he's using this kid to do that. But then you see him grow, much like in Upside of Anger and even Tin Cup, like everything. Like I think he's really good at transforming throughout the movie naturally. And you get that. And it's such a good movie. It's over 20 years old now, but it's a basic story. I mean, it's a simple story. Ex-con kidnaps a kid hunted by U.S. Marshals. There's not much there to walk away from that's special, but this is a damn special movie because of Costner's performance. And he is so good. And whether you like Costner or not, like, watch this movie and you can understand why he was a giant movie star, because there's something about him. Even when he's doing these terrible, terrible things, you just want the best for him. And even though this kid is with this terrible, terrible person, you feel like he doesn't have it in him to do anything to the kid, that the kid's going to be all right. And it's just such a good movie. And, you know, Eastwood, I'm not even big on Eastwood as an actor, but he's really good in this. But everybody's overshadowed by Costner because Costner makes this movie. And it's a shame because it feels like it's kind of under, again, it's another one that's under the radar, that it's from 93. So, yeah, it was in the midst of some of his not so popular movies, but it's such a good, good movie.
Or some of his very popular movies, I suppose.
Yeah.
Coming kind of off the heels of those.
Yeah.
Do any of those make your also rans the Dances with Wolves and the Field of Dreams?
Field of Dreams did. I mean, it's a good movie. It's a touching story. Like, it's still a relevant movie, I think, because that story, it's an American movie. Like, it's father-son relationship, baseball, do-it-yourself. It's everything. When you think of baseball and how a baseball movie should be, it's perfect. I mean, it's great. It's got everything you'd want. But I had Field of Dreams and Bull Durham on there. I really like Silverado. Revenge is the other one I was alluding to. It came out within a couple of years of No Way Out. Those movies were pretty similar. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, I thought was...
That's an all right movie.
I liked it,
yeah.
Even though he didn't have the accent or anything. Like,
and you know what?
It was good, but I don't think it was a great Costner movie. Like, I feel like the cast really, really built that movie up. He was fine, but it wasn't... He didn't dominate the movie as he should have as Robin Hood, but I think overall it was a fun movie. And then I'm a sucker for The Bodyguard. I really liked the story. I thought it was done well. I thought it was a cool little movie. I thought she was fine. He did well acting against her. I'm a sucker for it. Something about that. Plus, I'll Always Love You is probably one of the best off a soundtrack ever.
One of the
I'm Every Woman. That soundtrack was sweet on this movie.
It's right up there with the soundtrack from Pitch Perfect.
It's up there.
Not quite at that level, because, you know, Anna Kendrick's got a much better voice anyway. I don't have any also-rans, but in deference, I do have a listener list. And it's not a full list. It's only top four. It comes from listener Nathan Baker, Nathan the Seaman. He gives us four, in no particular order, the aforementioned Robin Hood. But then three that we sort of didn't talk about, so that's why I feel the need to mention him. He really liked Dragonfly. Mentioned that movie a lot. Loves him some Dragonfly.
Listener Jason West has some opinions on Dragonfly.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Mr. Brooks and A Perfect World. I liked Mr. Brooks. I guess if I had one that was kind of lurking on the outside,
he redeemed himself with A Perfect World on that list. But I mean,
that's let's do that. Every time somebody actually sends us a list, let's shit all over it. That's a great play.
I mean, Costner. He had Hatfields and McCoys, which was a big hit. It was on TV.
Yeah, he's but this is not TV on.
No, that. I know. My point was that we didn't mention any Westerns.
Right.
And he's kind of, you know.
You said Silverado.
Yeah, I did. I forgot about that. But because he had what? Open Range, mm-hmm. Wyatt Earp.
The Postman, if you want to count
the
that.
The Postman. I like Costner. I obviously more than you.
Clearly.
He's had an awesome career. Like, I mean, some of those. Starting in 87, you got Untouchables, No Way Out, Bull Durham, All in a Row, Field of Dreams, Revenge, Dance with Wolves, Robin Hood, JFK, Bodyguard, Perfect World, Wyatt Earp, The War, Waterworld, Tin Cup, Postman. I mean, yeah, like, those maybe aren't all hits, but they're movies you know. Like, they're movies you know.
Yeah, I mean, the dude, I mean, he is absolutely a movie star, just not necessarily one that I particularly care for, though. All of that could change Thursday at 8 o'clock when I sit down to watch Draft Day.
Yeah.
In my Cameron Wimbley jersey.
Oh, jeez.
Or my Braylon Edwards jersey.
Not your Johnny Football jersey.
No, not yet.
But that's our Kevin Costner episode. I forgot I'm driving this one. If we missed any you liked, if you want another list for me to criticize or critique.
Yeah, please send it.
Hit us up. Electronic mail at moviesonup@gmail.com. Facebook.com/moviesonup or the Twitter @moviesonup. Trying to get more active on the Twitter. Trying to put some news out there because there's actually been a lot of news lately that's been like, I kind of miss doing news episodes just to talk about some of the stuff. So I'm trying to take that to Twitter. So if you don't follow us, let us hit us up, follow us, and tell your friends. But that's it for this week. Go see Draft Day if you want, or go see Captain America the Winter Soldier for the second or third time. If you want, I know I enjoyed that more than somebody else in the room. Then next week we'll be back. I think it's Haunted House Movies, maybe.
Yes, it is. In celebration of the brand new Wayans joint, A Haunted House 2, we will be giving you five of our favorite movies about
haunted houses. So until
then. We're very clever.
Until then.
Keep it up.